じゃあ日本語でマタイによる福音書28章18節から20節までをお読みします。イエスは近づいてきて彼らにこう言われた。私は天においても地においても一切の権威が与えられています。それゆえあなた方は行ってあらゆる国の人々を弟子としなさい。そして父子聖霊の御名によってバプテスマを授け、また私があなた方に命じておいたすべてのことを守るように彼らを教えなさい。見よ、私は世の終わりまでいつもあなた方と共にいます。
And Pastor Aki's sermon is Power Encounter.
Thank you, Phil. Good morning. How are you doing? It's cold, football season, first week of school, a lot of stuff going on. The flu season, I don't know if this is season, but a lot of people are getting the flu. So be careful. Let me pray for our time. Father, we thank you so much for today, Lord, where we could just come and worship you. We thank you, God, for gathering us together. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord, and we just release, Lord, your grace in this room. We just pray, Father, if there's anyone here who is anxious or worried, stressed, we pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would come and minister to each and every one of us. We ask that you would release the ministry of your messengers, of your angels to us, Lord, that we would experience your presence, Lord, as we gather and worship you. And Father, as I bring your word, I pray your Holy Spirit will teach us and give us a revelation into your heart and your ways. We thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this passage we just read, Matthew 28, most of you have heard it. It's the last thing Matthew records Jesus saying to his disciples. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." The last Sunday of last year, I talked about having expectations, right? And having great expectations from a great God. Amen? Yeah. Our God is just amazing. And Jesus here again says, "All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go." And I think we could find comfort in that Jesus is in control. And that we could have great expectations if we follow Jesus. I was talking to some of the leaders, I think it was this past week, and they reminded me that this church here, JCCT, started off with an amazing explosion of people being baptized. I forgot, it was somewhere around 40 new baptisms, which is remarkable for a church this size to have that many baptisms. As of late, we have not had that many. I want to have expectations from the Lord that we would have that kind of explosion again, that kind of impact on the community and on people around us. One of the things Jesus says here is, go and make disciples. And just like as light goes out and illuminates darkness, I believe the church is meant to go out into the world. I've heard this from a friend, and he said, you know, one of the problems about missions today is instead of going, we say, come. You know, come to church or come to Bible study. But the Lord teaches go. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with come and see. The church has done a great job of telling people and inviting people to come. And I think, and I believe, that's important. We need to continue to do that. But I think we also need to grow in that aspect of going and making disciples. Again, Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And just to touch on this, I won't get into too many details about it, but the gospel is so powerful. It's meant not to transform individuals, but nations. He says, make disciples of all nations. You know, every person is important. I believe that. Every person has a redemptive purpose. Every family has a redemptive purpose. Every church has a redemptive purpose. I believe we have a redemptive purpose. Every city has a redemptive purpose. And every nation has a redemptive purpose. And you might be asking, okay, what's the implication of having a redemptive purpose? A person can help someone out of addiction, right? Maybe going to counseling a person one-on-one. A nation has the potential of abolishing slavery. That's a redemptive purpose of a nation. And you say, well, you know, I make slavery as an example. And in part of my mind, I may think, oh, slavery has been abolished, you know, hundreds of years ago. But the fact is, there are still slavery around the world. Human trafficking, it's a huge issue. It's getting bigger. The church has the gospel that could make disciples of all nations that could destroy something like slavery. Human trafficking. I believe that. I have the expectation when Jesus said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth, that when the gospel is proclaimed and accepted, and not just individually but nationally, I believe it can bring such radical transformation to this world. I think that's the implication Jesus was making here. Jesus, again, it's important that we learn how to go. Not just say come, but actually meet people at their need. And I believe when we meet people in their place of brokenness, the gospel is just that much more effective. You know, sometimes when we tell people to come to church, they come and they experience something, but they don't know what. Is not as powerful as if someone's hurting on the street and we have the compassion enough to ask what's going on and the compassion enough to pray, and if God touches them there in their brokenness, it speaks a different message than people coming to church. And I believe the world needs that. People need that. We all need that at sometimes, whether we're Christian or not. And so I want to encourage us. I'll give us practical application at the end, but I want to encourage us. This is an expectation the Lord has for us. We just read, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Therefore go. I hear this all the time. I don't know if you heard this. But whenever you see the word therefore, you want to see what it's there for. And the therefore is a reason that Jesus has been given all authority. That's why we go. There is power that Jesus has, that he has allowed us to steward and to walk in. And it's getting pretty hot in here. Is it just me? I'm just preaching up a storm and I'm getting hot. Okay. All right. Thank you, honey. I'm going to start sweating. This is a new shirt, and so I like to try to keep it as clean as possible so I don't have to take it to like the dry cleaners or something, so I could reuse it. Anyways, all right. Well, it says, therefore, go. All authority and power has been given to me. Acts 1:8. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. But it's up here on the screen as well. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And that's an interesting statement Jesus makes to his disciples. I believe his disciples were saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit at this point in time. Meaning that even though those disciples were saved and that they had the Holy Spirit in them, Jesus said, wait for another work of the Spirit. Wait till the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. First where you are, wait in Jerusalem. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Then you will go out into Judea, and into Samaria, and then into all the earth. It's a progressive thing Jesus was talking about. But he said, the most important thing here is to wait upon the Holy Spirit before you become my witnesses. I believe we cannot effectively witness without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary. And now I'm not saying that you don't have the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm saying. I believe if you once you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I believe the Holy Spirit comes and seals you and you're saved. Just as the disciples had the Holy Spirit. But he says, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, then you'll be my witnesses. And so I believe when it comes to evangelism and when it comes to what I called power encounters, and I should have actually defined that term, but I'll give it to you later. but when it comes to evangelism, being witnesses of Jesus, being witnesses of a spiritual thing, it takes a supernatural being, which is the Holy Spirit. After Jesus ascended into heaven, evangelism, being a witness, is simply a byproduct of the Spirit working in our lives, of the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me real quick. I want to show you something in Scriptures from Acts 6. Of course, the book of Acts. Some say the Acts of the Apostles, but many scholars are changing their tune and saying, oh, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit rather than the Acts of the Apostles. But here in chapter 6, let me read from verse 1. Chapter 6, verse 1, please. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. I'll read. In those days, the numbers of disciples was increasing. The Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, those are the 12 original apostles, or 11 original, and then they voted another apostle in to take the place of Judas Iscariot. Anyways, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men among you who you know are to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." To give you a picture of what was happening, there were 2 sets of believers, Jewish believers, Hellenistic believers, and Hebraic believers. Hellenistic Jews and Hebraic Jews. And they're they had some disagreements on who gets the food and all that other stuff. And so the disciples, the 12 leaders, got together and said, okay, you know, we can't be bothered with food distribution. It's an important thing, and we needed to get it done, but we have other things we need to take care of, especially prayer and the ministry of the word. And so they appointed elders to be in charge of the food bank, basically. Let me continue to read. Verse 5, it says, this proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented them to the apostle, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And then it says, so the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, one of the persons that was in charge of the food bank, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. It's amazing. Now, for the original 12 disciples to do signs and wonders, it's kind of like, okay, I get that. They were taught by Jesus personally. But Stephen was just chosen because he was smart and he was faithful and he was full of the Holy Spirit, but he was not an apostle. That's what I want to get here. He was not an apostle. He was chosen to be an elder. He was chosen to take care of the food bank, basically. But what did it say about him? That he did great signs and wonders as well. And I believe it was because of that the gospel spread even more rapidly. It was not just the apostles. My point is, it was not just the apostles that God, the Holy Spirit, worked through powerfully. I believe he worked through every disciple who was open to being used by God. Mm-hmm. What I want to say to you today is, God can use you. Just as he used Stephen, just as he used Peter, just as he used Paul. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying in order for the gospel to spread, you need to go and heal a blind person. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying you need to go and heal a deaf person or a lame person or whatever. You know, those are remarkable stories in the Bible. And I believe there's a potential for that, each and every one of us, because of the Holy Spirit. Not because of anything of our goodness, because of the Holy Spirit. But what I am saying is this, that the Holy Spirit must work supernaturally, powerfully. Even if it's just a simple word of encouragement that the Holy Spirit can use. Now, I'm not trying to tell you how the Holy Spirit will work in your life. But unless the Holy Spirit works in your life, I believe the gospel will not be proclaimed as it should be. I believe we will not be the witnesses that God called us to be. When Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you with power to be my witnesses, I believe he meant that not just for the original, but for each and every one of the disciples that will come to follow Jesus. Again, in 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, Paul says this, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. Although Paul was very wise and very persuasive. He says, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's where he put his faith on. The Spirit's power to work in our lives. It wasn't in his rhetoric. It wasn't in his eloquence of speech. It was in the faith in Jesus that said, wait for my spirit to come upon you. Then you'll be my witnesses. It didn't rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Amen. So what I'd like to do is this. If you are a believer, and if you've never experienced the Holy Spirit in such a way where you're like, oh, wow, that was a powerful encounter, I'd like to pray for you after service. Just come up. Again, in Acts chapter 6, when it said Stephen was chosen, what happened? It said the apostles laid their hands on him, prayed for him. I don't know if Stephen was doing signs and wonders before the laying on of hands or after. It's not clear. But in the story presented, it seemed like after the laying on of hands, Stephen went out and did signs and wonders. And there is a lot of scriptural references about laying on of hands and receiving gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you've never experienced anything like that, my wife and I, we're just going to simply pray for you and just say, it'll be a simple prayer, a harmless prayer. Maybe it might not be harmless, but it'll be a simple prayer. We're not going to hurt you. So practically, this is practically, okay, supernatural is necessary. The Holy Spirit is necessary. Where do I go from here? Well, the first step is just come and receive prayer. We'd like to pray for you. That's as simple as that. Second step is, I believe practically, when I talk about power encounter, evangelism through the Holy Spirit, we need to learn to see. We need to learn to see. You guys know, I'm sure you guys do, but Where's Waldo? You guys ever? For those of you who don't, man, my analogy is clicking with a lot of people today. Usually my analogy just connects with one or two. No sports analogy today, praise God. Anyways, so where's Waldo? He has a suit, a striped red and white suit, and he's usually in a very crowded, busy place, and you just try to look for Waldo. I'm not very good at that game. But I'm assuming the more you do it, the better you become. Is that right? Is there any like avid Where's Waldo fan who like practices it? No. Okay. Anyways, that's my understanding. Just like the physical, where we need to learn how to see. And you know, I'm going to give you a sports analogy. I had to. I love basketball. Okay, and I grew up playing basketball ever since I was 7, and just watching basketball. When I watch basketball, I see it differently than someone who's just began to watch it. I look for certain things, certain patterns, certain plays, certain tendencies of other players. As someone who prides myself in defense, I like to see if a person likes to dribble right and shoot a layup, or dribble right and pull up and shoot a jump shot. I mean, that's just how detailed I watch basketball. It's a little different than maybe you might watch basketball. The casual fan will look maybe for spectacular plays, right? Things that would say, wow, that was amazing. That was physically just amazing. I like to see the details. I've shared this analogy. I was sitting and watching figure skating. It wasn't because I wanted to watch figure skating. We were just ended up watching figure skating, okay? And I'm watching. I'm like, oh, that's cool. She did she spun around and she landed. That's amazing. But my friend, she was like, she used to figure skate. She's like, oh, she missed that triple axel. Like, what? She landed, right? Apparently, you know, people who figure skate know when you're supposed to do a triple axel and you only do a double axel, you messed up. Someone like me who's watching will be like, oh, that was an amazing thing. In the spirit, spiritually, we need to learn how to see as well. We really do. And it's a matter of knowing what to look for. I can't explain everything today, but simply begin to ask the Holy Spirit, help me to see. Help me to see. And honestly, I'm just as guilty as anyone else. But a lot of times, it's simply not just help me to see, but just slowing down your life. You know, a lot of us were so busy going from point A to point B that when something gets in our way, and if it's a homeless person or someone that's hurting, it's like, sorry, I don't have time for you. Am I the only one? Okay, I'm the biggest sinner. Maybe it's just me, okay? But a lot of times it's slowing down and seeing. Hey, that God has compassion for that man. That woman. You just read the Good Samaritan again. A lot of times we just go and do our thing. We're too busy to stop and help. Third practical steps on how to evangelize supernaturally is this. Take risks. A lot of times it gets out of our comfort zone to ask a stranger who's hurting, hey, you know what? I can't give you the dollar you're looking for, but can I pray for you? It gets us out of our comfort zone. But as one of my favorite preacher says, he always says this, faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. You could talk about faith all you want. But if you never take a risk, are you really living by faith? Or are you living by your own strength? Your own safety nets? Or is God your safety net? Walking supernaturally, at first, if you never felt it, again, after we're going to take communion, after our service, just come up, my wife and I, we're just going to lay our hands and just pray a simple prayer. And I'll try to impart to you everything that's been imparted to me. It's not much, but it's a start, okay? Amen. Learn to see. Take your time. Ask the Holy Spirit, help me to see. What am I looking for? And I take risks. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is available to each and every one of us. And Lord, we do pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with the power and authority that you have, Lord. We pray that we would stay connected to you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your grace again. In Jesus' name, amen.